The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hello and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
I kind of, you know, I was taken away by the whimsy of our very podcast here in the middle of that introduction. Let me tell you why. It's a podcast featuring comedy about reviews from the internet, Google, Amazon, Target, Yelp. Target again. We really hit Target a lot. Target.com, go crazy. Anything else about this podcast these people got to know before we do it?
It's super fun. I don't know what else.
The confidence is what gets me about it. It's super fun. I'm having so much fun.
Let me list off some things. 167 episodes, check. Two hosts, check. Bucket hats, zero.
Unfortunately, dude, I've been trying to get Matt to wear a bucket hat during recording for months.
Can't do it.
Every time I bring it up now, he just starts yelling. I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry, everyone. I tried. It's scary for me now. You know what's not scary?
What's that?
This is a review I wasn't sure I was going to do this week. I was like, that one's kind of on the... I'll do that another time, maybe. But it just jumped out at me right here, didn't it? This is a review from Yelp.com for the Wisconsin Big Boy in Germantown, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Big Boy, I don't know. Many listeners... probably know what Big Boy is. For those who don't, it's like an old burger chain, an old-timey, almost IHOP, yeah, but more burger-themed instead of hopping pancakes-themed.
I would say most people would know it just from Austin Powers, but even that as a reference is kind of fading.
Right. Yeah, it's just a restaurant, and the mascot was a big, big boy. He's a lot like us. But don't take it from me. Let's learn about this living big boy recipe from Russ H. Russ writes, ordered the big boy combo, which came with a salad, which I thought was strange. It was okay, but pretty small. The burger was set up like an old classic and came out fast, but didn't seem too hot, and the burger and the bun were dry with not much flavor. Think gray hockey pucks. Upgraded to onion rings, but didn't like the texture. Crunchy on the outside, really soggy on the inside. Maybe they were reheated. The staff was nice, and the place looked cool inside with all the decorations. Maybe Culver's just adds enough grease to their food to make it taste better. But I would eat theirs over Big Boy any day. At least the place was very clean, whereas Culver's is always dirty, generally. So I avoid and only do drive up 2 stars.
Okay. I don't know if... maybe it hasn't worked its way all the way up to Wisconsin yet. Online. I know this invention has reached... did you put, like, ketchup on a... on a dry burger? I mean, it'll moisten that thing up at least a little bit.
I suppose, but I don't have that option available.
I know. Barbecue sauce. Get some BBQ.
There's chili. But I don't know. I guess I want in a burger. I want it to be juicy enough that I don't need the condiments.
You want it to stand alone.
I want to be able to, if I could took the burger off the buns like I was on some weird fad diet and like slapped it on, I want the juice to take me there.
That's fair. I'm just trying to be on Big Boy's side here.
The reviews for this large boy was very mixed. It seems like it's a lot of people don't think it lives up to the legacy.
Yeah, like the silver lining is just dimmed a bit to gray hockey puck.
Yeah, the burgers look boring from the pictures. Let me send it. They look very boring, but I think when you go to an Americana type place, you might want that. I don't know. This little burgie look right here looks juicing with the sauce.
It looks pretty good. I'd hit it with a bit of ketchup myself, but
sure. Maybe it could use a little something. It's got thousands of islands on there.
Yeah. The bun looks pretty darn good.
The bun looks like a McDonald's burger, but taken up a tier is the attempt. But look at this French onion soup. I mean, it looks like quality food to me.
That looks good. Yeah.
What really hit me was the weird Culver's slander on the way out.
That is uncalled for. Every Culver's I've been to, it's just always a lovely experience.
I don't think I've ever been in a Culver's I thought was messy.
I don't think so, no.
Maybe after a rush hour, a couple tables needed a little wipe ski, but that's about it. I've never, not like, you know, walking into a gas station bathroom where it's like,
yeah, this place is dirty generally.
Generally dirty. Now I want to go to that dirty, that anti-Culver's where it's dirty. And the idea that the grease is the source of the flavor and the goodness.
They do a little more grease in their fryers. Like, what? A little more grease on the board.
That they imagine sort of a Bugs Bunny Space Jam sort of secret sauce. They're just like generic bottles labeled the grease that they just spray on the food and it adds all the magic flavor.
Mm-hmm. Culver's does have butter burgers. So
that's true.
A bit more grease in them suckers.
Maybe they're confusing butter for flavor. You know, someone from Wisconsin, I wouldn't put that bad. I don't think we learned anything about the big boy legacy either way, but
no.
I'm sure you have a review we can talk about.
Yeah, I'm going to take us from one chunk of Americana to another chunk of Americana. I have a Google review for Coors Field, home of the, what's that team? The Colorado Rockies.
The Rockies, yeah.
Everyone's favorite.
They whip. Anytime the Brewers get to the playoffs, the Rockies handily whip their ass. So I really love the Rockies. Smiley face.
Here is a review of Coors Field from Truman Bronson. Truman writes, 0 stars if I could. Stans say they have peanuts, but they don't. If you're allergic to peanuts, blame your parents for your vaccines, not me. What? It's in the freaking song. Give me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever come back. No peanuts, never coming back. 1 star.
I can't imagine living my life like that.
I can't imagine caring about peanuts that much.
Exactly. When I go to the ball game, I don't know, maybe it's too big of a deal. Maybe I'm romanticizing it too much, but I'm there to have fun, hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mission. You know, I can't let a missing food item ruin my whole $50, $100, $200, all expenses considered day like that. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's in song.
Yeah, imagine sitting, your friends are all having fun, and you're sitting like a bumping log, grumped out because you can't get some freaking a pack of peanuts you could get at the damn gas station.
Golly, I guess I haven't been to a Cubs game in a few years, but last time I went, people be selling peanuts outside the park. They cheaper on the outside, get peanuts here. You're like, oh, maybe, I don't know if he's telling the truth, but all right.
I went to a brewer game this summer, and there was nuts. There was nuts at American Family Stadium. I'm telling you, there was nards everywhere, not just on the dudes, but in the stands. for purchase with that cinnamony sugar smell.
Oh, that stuff.
That's how you know there's nuts.
Yeah, that stuff messes me up in a bad way.
Do you get like a cartoon character following the scent of a pie?
No, the opposite. I get the face turns green.
Oh, you! It's like a noxious gas.
Yeah, lines down my face.
You become Max Headroom when the scent of some sweet nuts hit you.
They're just too sweet.
Yeah, you could never survive at a gay gym. The scent of all those sweet, sweet nuts. An all-male gym, I guess I should say. There's probably gay gyms out there. Gay Steve's, gay gyms, you know, all kinds of guys. All types of different names. But the stadium here.
The stadium is most likely trying to respect those with peanut allergies.
Yeah.
Which these days I respect as well.
Yeah, why not, bro? I ain't worried about it.
If you love someone who has a nut allergy, suddenly you're going to stop icking the song. I don't care. There's a lot of things in this song.
So Cracker Jacks are in the song. I don't want any fucking Cracker Jacks. Keep them bitches away from me.
You throw Cracker Jacks at some guy's head? No, we don't need that.
Listen, there's so much other Americana you could shove down your gullet at that game.
Get a hot dog.
All kinds of different wieners. You come to Wisconsin, we got different wieners at every stadium or at every little food spot. $20 beer you could have. That's nothing that's more American than a $7 cold hot dog and a $20 warm beer. And I know Coors Field has that.
That's America.
That's America. He didn't even mention the game, the park, so many other variables in your experience. And I can think of so many games where things have attacked me, hindered my and come at the universe, said, let me throw some shit at you to try and ruin this day. And you know what? I overcame it. I acted like a man.
Yeah, you get by. Oh, it's a little chilly at the park today. I don't know. I guess we're going to walk around a bit.
Now that you mentioned the weather, there was one game, but I wouldn't have raided the whole stadium. This is just one unlucky day where we sat on the third base side instead of the first base side.
Shoot, I'm in the shade. Gosh darn it.
We are used to being in the shade, and it is nice.
Ah, the opposite.
Yeah, we were in the sun just, you go at like an early afternoon game at Miller Park, American Family Miller Beers. The sun is just beating down on second base side like death rays. I just remember, like, you know, you're just sitting and you're trying your best to find like an arm and leg and lean position. So yes. Like the sweat is flowing efficiently, but not totally uncomfortably. And you're just like, you can't move because it'll make it worse, but you can't not move because the sweat is consuming you. Yeah, I was like, my family don't really leave games, but that was the day where I was like, hey, it was like fifth inning, we were like, you want to go? I was like, please, please. But I ain't leaving no two stars, you know, and I still had wiener. I still had a wiener and a soda, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, you make the most of it. If it's chilly day at Wrigley Field, you go warm yourself over some grilled onions for a while.
You can just find them on the bathroom floor, a steaming pile of onions in the corner.
That's why it smells that way in there. People think it's all the men urinating into a trough. No, it's just a pile of onions.
It's just a pile of hot onions people gather around like bums around a burning barrel.
Oh, man, pretty chilly out there, yeah. Give me all these onions.
Speaking of giving people stuff, I have a review from Amazon. It is for Josh's Frogs European Nightcrawler, Eisenhenia hortensis, 25 count. We got 25 nightcrawlers in a little Tupperware dirt.
Okay.
Amazon customer, one of the realest titles I review, Crawling. I guess I should preface this. These reviews were pretty much back and forth debates about whether or not these Nightcrawlers arrived alive or not.
I was going to say, buying live worms online doesn't seem like a good idea.
That is what attracted me to this listing in the first place, correct? Wow, buying live bait online seems very stupid. But Amazon customers led us straight. I've had good luck with my Nightcrawlers. They arrived early, so I went out fishing the next day. Rain came the next day, so I went back out 3 days later. They were still living. I'm still using the same worms, worm emoji, a week later. To store them, I put them in an empty flower pot with soil around the container, and they are still crawling. Very satisfied with my purchase. 4 stars. You're not a worm guy, huh?
I'm not. It's been a while since I've bought some worms and gone fishing. We usually just like put them suckers in the basement fridge if we had extra.
Right.
I feel like that's the move there, right?
Right. You assume the death and you just kind of prepare for it. You're kind of leftovers to them. You don't make an ecosystem for them to thrive.
I've never done that.
Until their untimely death hooked through the brain.
The way he described that too, I put them in a flower pot and spread dirt around. It sounded like he's spreading salt circles around. Yes. To keep these worms alive.
He's tapping into ritualistic magics.
Yeah.
To prolong these Nightcrawlers' lives? That's unnatural. He's playing God?
A week later, they still live.
You saying Amazon customer is a witch or a warlock?
A Wiccan of some sort?
A fishing mancer?
Yeah, I don't know what else to chalk this up to.
Right. I'm here with you. I'm just trying to imagine some of the logistics around being not just being a magician of the fish and the bait, but caring about these creatures. I don't, because there's no caring there. You don't care and they live and die as much as that. It's a life that could be alive and that's good. They care if they live and die so they are better bait for better scrumdiddlyumptiouses for the little fishery, for their other things they get to kill. There's a lot. That's a lot. That's heavy.
It's a lot of collateral damage.
The more we talk, the more necromancer-like it feels. These are just husks.
How do you receive worms in the mail?
Lots of people talked about it, commented on how surprised and how sealed and packed that it was well packed. It sounds like just a very, you know, the classic wrap this in saran wrap from multiple angles 1,000 times situation.
Okay, so this maybe isn't like a fish. This is just some third party selling on Amazon. It's not like.
Yeah, this is Josh's Frogs selling this, I believe, out of Texas.
Okay, well, hey, all right. Oh, I'm so confused.
They got Josh's Frogs. They got a little graphic here. I'll send it to you. I want you to tell the audience what the slogan is here on this Josh's Frogs graphic.
It's slightly unsettling. But Josh's Frogs, live arrival guaranteed.
And, you know, he's not making good on that guarantee every single time, according to the other reviews. It's a heated debate.
I guess you got to just send more worms then.
Yeah, this is a regular worm customer here. Amazon customer is Josh's Frogs is like their hookup.
But it's, you're right, it's through Josh's Frogs, so you can't necessarily get like a subscribe and save for worms.
Imagine. Treating it like Hostess cupcakes. I mean my monthly worm quota. Or actually, Amazon customer, it seems like they have the worm fountain of youth. So they, you know, they might not need a subscription. They kind of order as they need.
What was the detail about it raining? Was that just like maybe they didn't go fishing that day?
Or? Yeah, I don't think they could go fishing. And then I think they're bad at math because they said 3 days later.
Okay.
So I don't know if they counted the rain as 3 days, the rain, or if they were busy the next 2 days.
I thought maybe the rain and a bunch of worms were out, and they're like, time to make some friends for my Josh's frogs worms.
No, no. The extent of their magic is not, they cannot summon the worms. They need Josh to provide it. But once they get the worms, oh, can they prolong their life?
Josh is there, the chariot driver.
He's a Charon?
Yeah.
leading them across the River Styx. Yeah, public school, huh? Great job. I remember my week or two we spent on Greek. Or is that Roman?
We don't ask those questions. When's the last time you had fingers on a worm? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I really need to know.
Fingers on a worm?
And I don't mean anything suspicious by that.
What's a finger on a worm? Is that some sort of dessert?
When have you held a worm in your hands?
Oh, when I have had my fatty little fingers on a meaty little worm.
Yeah.
Maybe years. I do not recall the last time I've felt a wormy squirmy in my handy wandies.
I kind of hate it. Kind of hate it.
I don't like it. I wasn't the type of kid to want to hold the creatures that are out and about. And, you know, when someone's like, I found a frog. I'm like, what are you doing? That thing's covered in slime and ick. I'm not scared of the frog. I don't want its slime on me. But worms, they never really bugged me. Maybe it's because their goo is sort of microscopic in scale. Mm-hmm. I've never encountered a worm that was too slimy. You know, the slime-covered worm, that would really... Now that would bother me.
That'd mess you up.
Now, if a sort of worm that oozes slime, I guess that's a slug.
I think there are some nasty invasive worms that are just like, guess what? We're a foot and a half long and we ooze.
We manufacture goo manufacturing worms. Yeah, that's sort of my arch nemesis.
That's a horror story.
Anything that manufactures goo is just not. Maybe it's because I manufacture goo that I hate it so much. You know, I see myself in them. I see every time I've snotted on myself on accident and hate wells up in my heart. I don't know. I feel good out, bro. Let's take a break here.
I see myself taking a break.
That's better than goo.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to From the Pages of Peterman.
Oh, Patelli. Patelli Man Catalog.
OJ Petites.
OJ. Small J magazine. I wonder what you have for us today.
For those who aren't in the know, who aren't in the fun, who don't like to have a laugh and have a splash from time to time.
For people that haven't watched Seinfeld,
People that haven't,
people that don't know true comedy.
J. Peterman Company is the company that Elaine Benes writes product descriptions for over probably at least a couple of seasons in Seinfeld. It's also a real company that has real products with real interesting product descriptions. You might say they're almost like reviews. You might say they're almost a bit not, because they're not reviews. They're like previews. They're telling you what the thing is.
They're written in with a review tone, very much. They're written as though...
They are. I was almost going to say they're better than reviews, and I had to just bite my tongue.
They're like a crystallized idealization of a review. But
they're like a Christmas card from a review.
Yeah, they can never be as good as reviews, because it's always fake. It's always just to sell a product. There's no genuineness. But it's like in a world where everyone that wrote reviews was so eloquent and well-read. That's what they'd be like.
It's a little treat. First up, I've got the Roughstock suede pant, which I just realized are $698 for a pair of pants.
Brother, that is a PlayStation 5 and a new TV to play it on.
Details. Roughstock. From time to time, a man asks himself if he has what it takes to bootstrap a company, change policy, ping a target at 500 yards, put up enough firewood for a long and bracing Wyoming winter, climb Siula Grande, save a river, protect the steelhead, stay on for 8 seconds in a Roughstock event, dig down and get back in touch with who he set out to be. He picks his challenges of wide-ranging difficulty, and he asks, do I have the gumption, the grit? Next time you ask yourself these questions, let these pants answer for you. I'm not going to read the actual details.
I love that one and I hate that one.
Yeah. I chose that. It doesn't have the usual spice, but I think it's a good companion piece to this horse bit vest. And I'll just get right into that and we'll dissect both of them. How about that?
Well... If you put it that way, I'm on board.
The one thing theory. When Cave Woman first braided twigs and leaves and created the first jewelry, she I can't even. When Cave Woman first braided twigs and leaves and created the first jewelry, she knew instantly it took her basic cave cloth to new heights. Bringing the one thing theory to a more modern interpretation, how to look better than anyone else wearing jeans and a nice t-shirt? Without looking like you gave it a moment's thought, easy if you have that one thing. Here's a vintage vest invested with that power. It's a vest with like buckles on it.
It better have freaking Fred Flintstone pattern on it with that little right up there.
There was an interesting, like, this one feels very, very sexist, and this one is also kind of just, ooh-rah, man.
just
a side of Peterman that I didn't know was there.
I know why we like these reviews. I know why we are taking pleasure from these. Who are these? At some point, it's like, because these are for rich people. Rich people aren't all that stupid to be duped by something like this, right?
I would think not.
Some of them, a lot of them are very smart. I'm sure some, you know, yeah, definitely. I've met probably stupid rich people, just like I've met stupid poor people, smart rich people. They're everywhere. But yeah, I don't know. It would take 20 seconds to do some Googling and figure out where the beginnings of fashion were.
Yeah, so
I know they weren't in the cave with the cavemen. They had not freezing to death to worry about. Lots of predators. They were not worried about. They did. Maybe they had some old decorations on some of their clothes, but they weren't. They didn't like take a second to look at it and go, oh yeah, fashion. This brings it to the next level. No.
What are they? They don't have mirrors.
When a caveman first put on this buckle vest, they thought, this is so me, Unga. This matches my club perfectly.
Yeah, so condescending. All right, I have three that are a bit more of the general tone and type that we're used to. This is the Western sweater vest. The antiquarian. He invites me to his Midtown apartment one September afternoon. I always thought it was rather more of an archive than a place to live, which was also what I liked most about it. He lets me wander among rows and rows of bookcases filled floor to ceiling with books from the last 5 centuries. 20,000, maybe 30,000 in the collection. Plus antique maps, prints, taxidermy, all sorts of ephemera. He's wearing a chambray shirt under a vest I instantly covet. It's not overly worn, but hardly new either. He tells me he traded for it in Taos, gave up a dear copy of John Muir's The Boyhood of a Naturalist. Says he has no regrets and won't let me buy it off of him either. Luckily, I have my other sources.
Da, da, da. This is how rich people think they are when they go places. They think they're so interesting. Oh, yes, I traded this sweater for my finest first edition of an insert book that you read if you're smart here, but I saw it on a nomad's back. I simply had to have it. Sir, what would you trade for that sweater? I'll pay any price for that sweater off your back, for we are in Taos and I am living and bartering.
You can never find its equal, never find its match.
I just don't think about clothes in that way. I would never would I see a shirt and be like, give me that off your back, I'll do anything. I would just look from a distance and go, wow, that shirt's really cool. That's as cool of a react, as big of a reaction to a piece of clothes I can have. Wow, like, neat.
The closest I have ever come to something like that is being at like a fall festival where they had vendors, little vendor booths set up and walking back. There's some lady selling different little purses and bags. And one of the, there's like a round backpack. And it looked fairly vintage. And I was like, that's a pretty unique bag. And when I walked past it on my way out of the area, I was like, that is a unique bag. And like, I'm sure it probably costs like more than hundreds of dollars for a bag I don't need. And I think about it every now and then. But yeah, I didn't say, you must tell me your price. Name any price.
Getting out what do you call those? A peg? A wooden peg to bite down on in a saw? Yeah. I will give anything.
I have a satchel of rubies. A pound of my flesh. What do you want?
My grandmother's ashes etched with her famous shortbread recipe. My firstborn son, here he is, 47 years old. I will give him to you.
Anything.
Boy, I made you. You are mine to give. I must have the sweater. Okay, Peter man.
Yeah, I know I said we were getting back in style. This one just is kind of dumb. This is the garam masala kaftan, which is kind of like a dress thing. Details. Garam masala. Whatever else India is about... which is a lot.
Yes.
It is about color. Brilliant, energizing color everywhere. Bombay's main spice market was located a dozen blocks from the little fabric shop where I found this. But even at that distance, it appeared to be exerting a discernible influence. The rich colors here are like garam masala, mixed spices cooked together to make them mellow instead of raw. The fabric feels mellow too, soft, silky, flowing, won't catch in your throat, as your dear old Mataji would say. And then it just ends there.
All I have to say about this review is when he wrote that first line.
Whatever else India is about.
Yeah. Whatever else India is about. That was all
Which
it was.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, that was all it was, but upon the edit, they wrote... They were like, that could sound a little funny. And so they wrote in, which is a lot. And they're like, oh, there we go.
Yeah, they shine up their fingernails.
Saved well done. That one.
That's pretty much why I brought this one. Like, that's a bizarre thing to say.
I did take me on that roller coaster from what? That's weird to very true. I couldn't have said it better myself. Exactly. Exactly what I was thinking. Actually, India is about a lot. And then they said it.
And finally, this one, I think, touches all the notes, hits them all in perfect melody that we look for in a Peterman review. This is the Absaroka fringe leather jacket. It is one of the most hideous leather jackets I've ever seen, with red leather fringe going down the front. Let me copy the image and send it on over. We're image happy today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who would wear? I can't picture a person that would look good on.
Well, the color is red dahlia, I'll have you know. And now I'll read the details. Paradise Valley. This, she says, is the secret to happiness. I begin to make a case for paper maps and blackwing pencils and prepare to offer up my collection of really good bourbon as further evidence. But she's not having the joke. No, Peterman, listen. We lean against a weathered run of jack fence and take in the valley and the Absaroka Mountains that rise up in ovation. The distant murmur of the Yellowstone rolling past. Deep in my chest, I feel the ancient, quiet thrum of this vast nothingness. This everythingness. Later, when we rode up through the canyon, I tell her she looks marvelous in hats and leather and fringe. I admit she's right, of course, about the other thing, too. Blah, 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 actual details about the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of those that's like, wow, nice, cool story, bro, but does that really have anything to say about this piece of clothing?
Not really, no.
The thing's so ugly. I feel like it was one of those, like, this thing's hideous. Get out the, do the big story. You got any of the big stories on deck? Yeah, about a valley and a lady.
If we can keep them on the page, you know, an extra 15 seconds, they might accidentally hit buy. So get a good story in there. Talk about that hot lady. I don't know. We use the hot lady one too often. How about the lady who really sticks it to Peterman? Oh, yeah, yeah, the boldly. Listen, Peterman, I know a thing or two, too.
Listen, Peterman.
Well, that,
the color, what was the color?
Red dahlia.
It looks like red. Looks like when you let your Neapolitan ice cream melt and you mix it all together red.
I was going to say, it looks like the inside of someone.
You know what it looks like? You know in Adventure Time when Marceline sucks the color out of red things?
Ugh.
She's a vampire, but she doesn't suck blood, but she just like sucks color out of things. That's the red it turns into. Just like a red with all its life removed from it.
Yeah, it's not a cool looking jacket at all.
But hey, we still love Peter. We love all his men.
That we do.
Until next time, pages. Where should I bring us from there? This is something someone on the refined side of life may indulge in. An Amazon review for Beavercraft wood carving crit. Wood carving kit, comfort bird DIY, complete starter whittling knife kit for beginners and adults and teens.
Okay.
Book fun project, carve bird hobby, whittling knife, learning woodworking. It's a little kit. And you can, it's got stuff to carve a bird, a little birdman. And looking at the picture, I saw the product. And then you scroll down, you see at the top of the reviews, you see pictures of people's creations. And I was surprised at how wonderful they looked. And then there was this one. Oh. I'm going to read the review and then I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Because it will really hit. I hope your description does it justice to the audience. No pressure. I don't mean it like that. But it's just a funny picture. Jane titles her review, "The wood might as well be solid metal." She writes, "I wanted to like this so badly. I'm still working on it, but so far I would have to say I've been working for over 4 hours. And it barely looks like a doorstop. My hands are red and sore from the immense amount of effort required to try and take any slivers or chips off this block of wood. There had to be a softer type of wood that they could have used. I do appreciate the tape for your fingers and the paper outline. The company seems nice as well. I just wish this were doable. 2 stars.
Oh, boy.
And I'm sending the picture to Matt.
Okay.
For contrast, I'll send over the thumbnails of a couple of the other ones that look very
wow.
Right? Don't they look so nice?
Oh no! What happened to this poor person? Oh, those look immaculate.
Yeah, so for the audience, the ones that most people carved, it looks like a wooden bird you'd like buy from a store. They're so smooth and sanded. I don't know what you do.
It's just Home Goods or something.
Yeah, it's just a paperweight essentially, but boy, does it look like a professional did it for a few of these. And then we have Jane's, which is just like a doorstop. Like, it looks like a dog chewed on it, shaped wood with a crude drawing of a bird.
Yeah, Jane has successfully tapered the bottom of the bird. But other than that, no, you still see whatever, yeah, paper coating the piece of wood had so that you could draw the bird shape on it. I feel so bad.
Do you think she just, because, you know, 1 in 100 products going out of the factory is going to be defected. I just made that up on the spot, but let's say.
Right.
Sometimes you're going to draw the short straw and get a defective product in the box. Do you think that's the case, that she got a hard piece of wood, or do you think she's missing something here?
Gosh darn, ironwood or something?
Ironwood is that. That's what they call those, the wood in Game of Thrones from the special forest where the trees are as hard as iron, yeah. She was shit's fantastical magic wood from the Game of Thrones.
That's a real tree.
Is it a real tree? I mean,
any number of trees that produce very hard timber.
Okay, so ironwood in Game of Thrones, there's the fantastical version of that, but ironwood is a real term. Oh, the acacia tree, yeah. Also known as the what's that called? The Circle of Life Animal Kingdom tree. They should really chop that thing down.
Made out of poured cement. That's what Jane got.
Yeah, someone ripped a hunk of metal off the Animal Kingdom Disney World tree and sent it over.
What is she like? She's got it in a big bowl or something to catch her wood shavings, I assume.
Yeah. That's what's going on here. Yeah, it looks like a bucket. It looks like it's in the bottom of a garbage almost.
It's just so defeated.
Especially it's present. So Jane's is when you scroll down to the reviews, right, at the top, reviews with images. So you just see a lineup of four. Of like one beautiful like S plus tier from the box one, a couple that are like look very fantastic, A tier, yep. We could say. One that, you know, could use a little smoothing, yeah. A little love, but still looks like a bird. Very good beginner job, I think. And then you have Jane's like sad dog chewed thing at the bottom of a garbage. With the knife and the shavings. Do you know anything about whittling? Have you ever whittled?
I have whittled. As an Eagle Scout, I've done my fair share of whittling.
Is it? I just picture it as a cartoon thing. You just have a big 2x4 and you stylishly sort of husk away at the wood. Is it like that?
Kind of like that. Yeah. Ideally, you do have a fairly soft wood that you can you can shape. Or you're just a kid and you want to make, I want to make the end of this stick real sharp. All right,
go for it. We love that. I've done that. That's cool.
yeah. You can stab a weenie on there. You're going.
Some sort of deceased animal corpse you find in the forest, and then you get traumatized, and that's childhood, baby. That's childhood when you live in the middle of nowhere in the country. Mm-hmm. You don't tell anybody about the thing you found. You just bury that. You bury that so far down. Do you have a review? Do you have a review?
I do.
I'm kidding.
I've got at least a review. We'll see if I get the more. I found actually three that were pretty good. Two which I think are if I'm gonna feature any two, it's gonna be those two. But I'll just go with this one right here. Right after I check the time. Yeah, that's what I'm going for. This is a Google review of IKEA. Let me remind myself where this IKEA is. I think it was like in... it's in South Tempe, Arizona.
Okay. This is IKEA, Breaking Bad territory.
Yeah. This review comes to us from Tinyara SJ. Tinyara writes, "Greeter was incredibly rude. She was talking to me like she was crazy for no reason." "The Holy Spirit had to remind me that he changed me. This ended in me not beating her down. 1 star.
What? I need to know. I need to see this interaction.
Yeah, what happened that... When fists are about to fly, and Jesus is like, hey, no. Signora, we talked about
this. Yeah, this almost seems like, I'm reading it sort of as an experience that it was positive in the outcome. This brought her closer to God, to her faith, really, in the long run here. Some sort of holy force reminded her of the person she wants to be.
That's I like that. Yeah.
But what is it? I mean, I've had people in public talk crazy at me, but I just sort of turn my head straight and my eyes wide and walk quickly away. I don't make a review about it, so.
Especially, it is a greeter. Is it just breeze right by him.
Right, that's the whole point of a greeter. They're sort of there to not be there. If I went into Walmart and a crazy person said some crazy stuff and they had a Walmart vest, and I'd be like, wow, very nice of Walmart to employ this crazy person who says these things.
All right, we might as well do the second one. It's short, too. This is from Robert Ebright. He writes, "No service help. Nobody can answer questions. Some kid got upset because I asked a question, and he said he did not know. I started laughing, and he said, don't laugh at me. I am new. Get a sense of humor. I was laughing at the poor service. Hire people that are willing to help. 1 star.
Do you realize the kid is the one giving you the service?
Yeah, that's like going to an art gallery and laughing at the painting and be like, no, I'm not laughing at the artist. I'm laughing at what they painted.
I'm laughing at this bad art. I'm not laughing at you. I'm at this shitty art. I made the art. No. You don't get it. Man. If someone says, don't laugh at me, maybe I'm crazy for automatically going into, oh, I'm sorry, like sympathy mode, you know? If someone, I couldn't, unless I was purposely laughing at them, you know?
Sure.
If I thought this person was an idiot jerk who said some things that need to be laughed at, like, oh yeah, well, I'm a doctor, something like, you know, I would laugh at that. Uh-huh. But not someone saying, I don't know. And then I laugh at them, and then they're like, hey, that made me feel bad. I would be like, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't say, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at you, idiot. Spit
just
on
laughing
them.
At the collective you.
Yeah, this person's taking the royal we a little seriously. You know what I mean? the blurring of identity that comes from that. They're wielding it as, for evil. And being a trainee sucks. You should. Here's a little tip for all the youngsters that love ReviewParty.com. Your first job, someone asks you a question you don't know. You say, I'm not sure. Let me find someone who can help. And then you bring them to your supervisor and you pass that buck. You say, get the shit out of my hair. If you want me to help with this next time, train me, nerd. And then you walk away and go back to your shit. That customer is no longer your problem. Then you get a raise. Then you run the company, and then you can just delegate that to everyone. It's that easy.
Just that easy.
Just don't talk crazy to anybody.
Beat you down.
I don't know. Was she being aggressive, or was she speaking in tongues?
Maybe. If I had a nickel for every time someone was speaking in tongues to me, I'm trying to nip that in the bud.
If I walked into a place of business and someone greeted me with in some sort of alien language, I might go to that place a lot. I might think that's a cool place.
You learn a thing or two.
And you can learn a thing or two from this podcast. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You learned that you can sit for an hour and listen to two guys make some jokes. I learned this week that the grease gives the flavor. I learned all about the grease and the flavor. What did you learn, Matt?
I learned that anything that makes the goo is bad.
Yeah, I think we've come out as better people after this podcast. I hope you all did too. You can, you know, just sort of mainline becoming a better person every Tuesday. That's right. We got new episodes of this podcast every Tuesday morning. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. If you'd like to be a part of our cute little podcast, you could send a funny review for us to funny over. Send it to our email, reviewparty.com@gmail.com. Include a name or some sort of moniker, some sort of goofy nickname, but probably just your name so we can say, hey, it's from you.
You can also send us stuff on social media. I don't know if you're aware of that stuff. At reviewparty.com on Instagram and TikTok. At reviewpartypod on XXXXXXX. Yeah, you can. There's some content there for you to enjoy. Mm-hmm. There's also more content for you to enjoy. But if you're like, I don't know if I'm ready for that type of content, well, there's content somewhere else. ReviewParty.com. It's our website. There's all the episodes there. If you want to look at like the episode images, you got an itch you need to scratch, you just want to see a bunch of pictures all at once, that's a place to do it. There's also the blog. Reviews are written about in various fashions. So if you ever like wanted to read something slightly funny and slightly informative, the blog's the place to do it. Come on. Simple math.
And there's a new place to read some review party content, isn't there?
There is.
There is. In its child stages, it's still, you know, you might, if you want an entire meal, a buffet of content, it's not the place yet, but it will be. It's Letterboxd, baby. We've joined the crew. We're going to make some movie reviews. I'm Dr. Seuss, and we're on the loose. So go to letterboxd.com/reviewparty. I don't know. What do they call handles? Our username is just reviewparty, our @, whatever. Go follow us on Letterboxd if you're into movie reviews. Maybe we'll follow back. Maybe this is a follow back type phase, unless you listen to this a year from now when we're rich and famous. We won't follow you back unless you're also rich and famous. So get in now. Get in now, because we're going to be judgmental assholes. Get in now.
We'll be drinking daiquiris by the pool.
The party's still open. It's going to close soon. We're going to exclusively shop at Peterman and think of ourselves as sort of like bartering nomads, even though we're just blowing loads on crappy clothes. You know who's not just sort of a stuffy, rich bastard? The homies in Nosebleeds. They're down-to-earth, friendly dudes, and they make good music. They let us use their good music for our theme song. You've heard it throughout the episode. Bread for Breakfast is the name for it. It's a good, good song, and you can hear lots more good, good songs on their Spotify. Nosebleeds, one word. Yeah, I think we're sufficiently plugged. I can reward everyone with a little review.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
I'll do this one. This is a review from Amazon for Hot Wheels Mario Kart Wario diecast character car 1/64 scale purple. It's for a little Mario Kart Wario Hot Wheel.
Okay.
Tropic Thunder titles their review Goodbye. They write, too dangerous to give to a young child due to swallowing hazard, but excellent details. Great collector's item. 4 stars.
Who's going to want to swallow Wario?
Yeah,
all that aside, sorry, go ahead.
That dude will give you a tummy ache for sure.
My favorite is that he's 1/64 scale, which means they know how big he is in real life.